Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
So we had West Virginia native Chris Wallace, general manager of the Memphis Grizzlies, on the show earlier. And now another West Virginia native, one who has won more than 800 games as a college basketball coach, mostly at Cincinnati and West Virginia, two schools he's guided to the Final Four. He's been to the Sweet 16 three of the past four seasons, and a big reason for that was the presence of the player the Grizzlies selected with the 32nd pick in last week's NBA draft, Javon Carter. I'm, of course, talking about Bob Huggins, and the West Virginia coach joins me now. Huggs, it's Gary. How you been?
I'm good, Gary. How you doing?
Everything's all right. I appreciate you being here. Obviously interested in talking to you for a variety of reasons, but most notably because the Grizzlies took one of your players in last week's draft with a 32nd pick. So Javon Carter was ranked 299th in the country, according to one recruiting service coming out of high school. I'm not sure he had another high major offer, and yet I gather you offered after seeing him one time. What did you see in Javon Carter that clearly nobody else saw?
Well, we were coming off of the transition from the Big East to the Big 12 and not very successfully, and we kind of had guys that played for the wrong reasons, I think. And I saw a guy who loved to play, who played with great enthusiasm. I went in at 8 o'clock in the morning at Disney, and he's pressing full court. He had the one-man full court press going. Right. Played so hard, moved his feet terrific. And I said to our guys, I said, "We got to recruit this guy."
And so, and so he ends up at West Virginia. Now, make sure I get the time frame correct. This was right before you had decided to start pressing. I believe the first year you went to the press was Javon's freshman season. Did you recruit him with that in mind?
No, I recruited him because I loved his enthusiasm. I loved how much that it appeared that he loved the game. And, you know, you get guys who love the game, love to play, and play with great enthusiasm, they're going to get a whole lot better. And, you know, a guy who loves being in the gym, like he loves being in the gym. He loves working on his game. He is pretty much a perfectionist at everything he does. I mean, Gary, he's a 3.5 student, you know. He's a guy who, when you say, hey, there's some kids at the hospital that they'd like for us to come over, he's the first guy that puts his hand up and says, I'll go. I mean, he's just, it's hard to find something that he does wrong. You'd have to look awfully hard.
Talking to Bob Huggins, West Virginia coach here on 92.9 FM ESPN. To your point about him living in the gym and wanting to get better, first 2 years at West Virginia, he shot around 30% from three-point range. The final 2 years at West Virginia, it's around 40% from three-point range. Is that just the byproduct of hard work, or did he actually change something, or did you change something with him?
That's pretty much, I think, a byproduct of hard work. I mean, we worked with him a little bit, but I mean, his shot wasn't all that bad. And you have to understand that when he got here as a freshman, we had Juwan Staten, who's pretty good,
right?
And we had Gary Brown, who's pretty good. You know, two seniors in the backcourt. So you know, it's a whole lot different coming in as a freshman off the bench when you got, you know, you're coming in for one of those two guys, and they're, you know, they're both chomping at to get the bit to get back in. Plus, we had Tariq Phillip and Jayshon Page, I believe. So, you know, we had pretty good players. We had pretty good guard combination, and you know, you just don't play with near as much confidence whenever you've got upperclassmen ahead of you. And then when he got his chance, he made the most of it. Juwan hurt his knee. Gary got his ankle rolled on. I mean, almost broke it. So those guys are out. So now, all of a sudden, you know, and he was really the guy that other guy that we had that we thought could play the point besides those two. So he was kind of thrust into that position.
When did you know, okay, we got something special here?
Well, I think that happens over time when you see the drive that he has, when you see how hard he's going to work and what he's willing to sacrifice to get to where he wants to go.
Talking to Bob Huggins, West Virginia head coach here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Does he just, Javon Carter, drive people nuts in practices? Does he practice the way he plays? Because I imagine that's got to be tough for whoever he's matched up with.
Oh, it's really tough. it's really tough for those guys to kind of get any confidence because he plays that way all the time. I mean, that's the way he goes about things.
Can you coach that into somebody, or is that just something they have to have?
I think you got to love the game,
right?
And he loves the game, you know. And that's what, you know, our whole focus went from trying to recruit guys to kind of fit a certain situation into let's just go get guys who love to play.
When you're recruiting, you know, because you're so limited in the contact you can have with a player and how many opportunities you have to see somebody, how difficult is it to try to figure out who loves to play or who's just playing? I imagine it's challenging.
It's not that hard to watch guys that take plays off and figure that they, you know, that they're going to come in and do anything different for you.
Right.
I mean, to a degree. I mean, we can modify their behavior. We're not going to change it.
Right.
But we can modify it. We can modify it to a degree.
When did you know that the NBA was a possibility for Javon?
Oh, I think last year.
Really?
Yeah, I think last year. Last year he just kept getting better and better and better, and he really put a lot of time in shooting the ball. You know, he was kind of hitching it a little bit, and he really worked through that. You know, Gary, he's got a great family. I mean, he's got an unbelievable family. He comes from a very disciplined home environment. He just does everything right. I mean, he was the senior athlete, senior basketball player of the year, which is really a heck of a thing because it combines athletic ability, academics, community service, and I don't know, something else. There's four requirements, and he's like an A-plus in all of them. You know, I mean, he just he will be unbelievable in the city of Memphis from what I know about Memphis and how much they, you know, they care about their people, because he'll be a guy who'll be in a community. He'll be at the hospital. He'll be in there encouraging people that are hurt or sick or he just does things right.
Talking to Bob Huggins here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Tony Allen is one of the most popular professional basketball players this city's ever had, primarily because he just really took pride in the defensive end of the court, really got after it on that end of the court. It does seem to suggest that if the fan base that loved Tony Allen now gets a chance to appreciate Javon Carter, it really does seem like a great fit.
Well, I read a quote the other day from a guy who was a first-round pick who just said, he's the best that I've ever played against. Even if you would beat him, he's chasing you down from behind.
Right.
And so you're always looking for him. And I mean, he's got some physical abilities now. I mean, he can move his feet. He can run. But he's got a heart. I mean, just he's got a big-time heart. Loves to compete.
Talking to Bob Huggins here on 92.9 FM ESPN. On the offensive end of the court, people focus on what your team is defensively so much and what he was defensively so much that I think he often gets shortchanged on the offensive end of the court, where, you know, he averaged big points per game, at least in the last couple of years at West Virginia. As an offensive player, is he better than most people realize?
Well, Gary, you have to understand that he broke the single-season assist record this year. Hmm. He broke Fritz Williams' record. Fritz had it before, and all Fritz did was he was in the starting backcourt for Miami when they won the world championship. won the NBA championship. And, I mean, you think of the people who have come through here. I mean, you think about Hot Rod Hundley and Jerry West and Rod Thorne and Fritz Williams and Will Robinson and on and on and on and on. We've had pretty good players come through here. And you look at the record book, and this guy's all over the record book.
Right.
In a lot of things. And free throw shooting and assists and steals. And I mean, he takes a lot of pride in what he does.
Did you know in advance of Thursday night that the Grizzlies really had him on their radar at 32?
No, I did not.
Oh, wow.
No, I did not. I talked to Chris pretty much when they were announcing the pick. So that's the first I heard, and I talked to Chris for a while, and I'm elated. I mean, I think not a lot of people know, but you know how much respect and appreciation I have for the city of Memphis.
Sure.
And their appreciation for basketball. And I think, you know, this guy is perfect for the city of Memphis.
I'm wrapping up here with Bob Huggins, legendary coach at West Virginia. Before I let you go, I did want to get your thoughts on the current basketball situation at the collegiate level in Memphis, which is Penny Hardaway, a guy you coached against once upon a time, is now the head coach, as you and I've talked about many times before. I grew up like in the middle of that Memphis-Cincinnati rivalry, and you were a larger-than-life figure in that rivalry, somebody who was a big sports figure in my childhood and basically anybody my age who grew up in this area. What do you remember about Penny as a player and those times when you, of course, were at Cincinnati and Penny was a player at Memphis?
Well, he was a great player.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't good. He was great. He was a great player. He could do everything. He could shoot. He could pass. He could handle the ball. He could defend. I mean, I thought he was as good all-around player as there was in the country. And I said this on another talk show thing I did earlier. Orlando called me and they were talking about this guy and that guy, and I said to him, I said, do you know if you think about it, who's dominating the NBA now? And it was Michael Jordan.
Right.
And I said, here's a guy maybe a little bit bigger, but has the same kind of skill set, can play the game, the whole game. Maybe not Michael, but about as close as you're going to get to Michael. And I told virtually everybody that called, and I think, you know, just about everybody called because we played four times.
Right.
And, here's what I think, Gary. I think that Penny has a chance to be Larry Finch, you know? To me, the program has never been the same since they let Larry go. Larry was Memphis. He was Memphis basketball, and nobody came into Memphis and got anybody that he wanted. I mean, he locked Memphis up, and had a great record, I think Penny can do the same thing. There's players in Memphis.
Oh, sure.
There's always been players in Memphis.
Obviously, and just one last thing. He's got people excited with, in the ways that you can measure such things, season ticket sales, donations, recruiting is on an uptick. But do you have a sense, as somebody who has done this at a high level for a long, long time, how difficult it is to transition from being a high school coach / grassroots coach to coaching at the high major level, you know, against the Cincinnatis and the Wichita States and the Houstons and the Connecticuts of the world? How difficult of a challenge is that going to be for Penny, or would be for anybody trying to do this same thing?
I don't think the coaching part of it will be that much of a challenge. It's everything else.
Right.
You know, you go from being a high school coach where it's your high school and you're working with your kids and nobody's asking you to go help raise money. Nobody's asking to sell tickets. Nobody's asking you to go speak to alumni. You don't have to go out and spend the whole month of July on the road trying to recruit guys. you know, away from your program. I mean, there's so many different things that you have to manage, and I think that's what people don't realize. We're way more than X and O people.
Right.
The people in this business who have been really good at it are really good at a lot of things. The speaking stuff that you have to do, you know, it's just it seems to be never ending, and you have to be able to balance your time. You have to be able to make sure that you have time to prepare your guys, prepare yourself for what's coming, game after game after game. And when you play in a league that's got good coaches in it, like, you know, in a Big 12, it's either 60% or 70% of the coaches in this league have been to the Final Four.
Right.
I mean, think about that. That's never happened before. The players that come out of this league, I think second most amount of draft picks of any league in the country, and we're the smallest league.
Right.
In the country. When you think about how competitive this league is, and, you know, it's not like you look down there and say, well, I can now coach that guy. I mean, there is nobody in this league I can now coach, I promise you.
Well, the thing about your league, it's just that, and you know, because you've coached in a whole bunch of different leagues, but in yours in particular right now, there's no easy outs. Like, even if you're in the ACC, there's at least places you know you can go and get wins. In the Big 12, I don't care how good you are. Like, winning on the road is damn near impossible.
Absolutely. And that's kind of what I'm saying about what Penny just walked into. Kelvin Sampson can coach.
Right.
You know, I mean, you look at the coaches in that league, Mick Cronin can coach. You look at the guys, Danny Hurley can coach.
Right.
And, you know, it's going to take him a year or so, whatever, to get his kind of kids in there. But, you know, that's a hard league. It's a hard league because it's hard places to play. You know, when I was in a Big East, Gary, you know, almost half of the league didn't play on campus.
Mm.
That's a whole lot different than playing in the Big 12 when every game is on campus. You got students there. You know, we don't have anybody that wears a helmet sits behind a bench like you guys do. but other than that, I mean, it's rough. And I think, you know, that all that, those kind of things are adjustments. Travel, the whole deal takes a little bit to get used to.
That is Bob Huggins, the legendary head coach at West Virginia and the man who recruited and coached for 4 years, Javon Carter, selected 32nd in the NBA draft last week by the Memphis Grizzlies. Hugs, you're the best. I appreciate you carving out a few minutes for me, and I will see you on the road, I assume, in a North Augusta, South Carolina, here in a few weeks.
I'm sure we'll run into each other somewhere.
You're the best, Hugs. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Gary.
All right, buddy. That's Bob Huggins, head coach of the West Virginia Mountaineers. Really good stuff on Javon Carter, just talking about like, he just loves to be in the gym. And it's one of the things that we discussed in advance of the draft, not necessarily when we were talking about second-round picks, but, you know, you know, at the top of the draft every year, there's any number of guys that have star potential, that have unbelievable talent.
Yep.
And what separates those guys often is, okay, which ones are just naturally gifted and they like playing basketball, but they're not going to live in the gym. And then which ones are driven to be special? Which ones, like, aren't satisfied with just being a top five pick? Aren't satisfied with just being a multimillionaire? Aren't satisfied with just getting in the league, just being a starter? I tell the story all the time about Kobe Bryant. He's an extreme example, but a guy who had won an MVP, who had won world championships, and yet had a reputation for still being in the gym middle of the summer, 4 a.m. Like, he still got after it every day. He wanted to work every day. He had all the money in the world, all the accolades you could get, top 10 player of all time, and yet to the very end of his career, like, he still worked as if he was trying to make it. And listening to Hugs talk about Javon Carter, like, he seems to have that same kind of mindset. Like, dead set on being the best version of himself that he can possibly be, and willing to outwork everybody to try to get there. That's a great attribute. It doesn't guarantee success. Ultimately, you got to have a certain talent level to succeed in the NBA. But that's a great place to start. And the idea that, you know, the Grizzlies have been looking for a sort of game-changing backup point guard for a long, long time. You listen to Bob Huggins talk, and you start to think that maybe they found him with the 32nd pick in last week's NBA draft. Huggs was great. Appreciate him being here, and we'll be back with Dinner to Go.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.